Alex just joined us.
You've got Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting, KSDP. This is Virgil.
Who is this? Virgil?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to our meeting, Virgil.
Well, you're live on KSDP at the moment. Nice to hear from you, Mayor Mack.
You also have the Sandpoint close-up students here in Sandpoint.
Welcome, close-up group.
Hi.
And you guys all down at the radio station?
No, we're at the borough office.
Oh, okay. Glad to hear that. All right, well, it's 3 o'clock and we'll start the meeting. Ina, would you call the roll, please?
Alvin.
Here. Hold on, who just joined?
House Pass.
Oh, House Pass, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Joe Baruskin.
You're supposed to be here in town. You were pushing it to get over here. Maybe you show up later.
Marvin.
Here.
Paul.
Yes.
Carol.
Carol?
Carol was flying in today. She was sick yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
okay.
Ken.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Nikki.
Yes.
Harold was also traveling today. Available. Justin. Yes.
We do have a quorum. Who else is on the teleconference beside King Cove and Sandpoint and False Pass?
Cove Bay here is on here, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, who's with you over there, Paul?
Okay, with me, Hap is flying into town for some stop training and whatnot, but here with me, Dawn is in the office there, and myself, and then Doug Danberg, Wildlife Refuge Manager, okay, and that's it.
Okay. King Cove?
Just me and Annette.
Okay. Sandpoint?
The close-up class, Alyssa Ludwig, Julia Johnson, Dion Osterbeck, Mariana Larson, and Mr. Seiler, Mike Seiler.
Okay, and who else is there? Virgil?
Just us.
Okay. Nelson Lagoon is here, so I guess there's nobody tuned in there. Did I miss anyone?
False Pass, Tom Hublett here also.
Okay. All right. We do have a quorum. Welcome, everyone, to the assembly meeting. Before you is the agenda. Is there anything we'd like to add to Jen? Oh, first off, I would introduce those that are here today beside the assembly. We have Jim Brown, our maintenance, Rick Gifford, our administrator, Ernie Weiss, resource development, Annie Bailey, our community, what do you call it?
Development.
Community development. How are you going to call it?
Well, great.
Executive. Nora Tannis and Sam Cotton. And
Jennifer.
That's right, from each. Welcome, Jennifer. Glad you're here. So, adoption of the agenda, additions. Paul, did you have...
Well,
I'd just like to add Nelson to the agenda.
Okay, we'll put that under new business.
Nelson's like
a discussion.
Discussion about what we previously had about the erosion problem.
Erosion.
Yes, sir.
I moved to adopt the agenda with the addition.
Yeah.
This is Nikki. Did you guys get the request from the city of
Boston? Yes, I was just going to put that on the agenda at new business. Paul?
I move to adopt the agenda with the inclusion of three items. One would be Nelson under new business, Nelson Lagoon erosion. Second one would be the discussion of the false pass city request. The third one was just disposal of the hovercraft discussion.
Second. Paul? In?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, then the agenda will be adopted as amended. We already have the community roll call in your packet. You have the minutes of the January 16th meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Brenda. Second, is there?
Second.
Thank you, Ken. You've all had a chance to review, Paul.
On the minutes, there was an email from Ernie with a slight correction on the agency, and I think when whoever made the motion on the minutes probably would agree that Ernie did say the...
actually corrected it on my copy.
Oh, your copy, yeah.
It's been corrected.
It was just a minor thing, that's all.
Sorry. Typo?
North Pacific instead of...
Typo, I think it was a typo.
Okay.
Wrong agency, that's all
right.
No big deal.
Any other corrections, deletions, or amendments? Hearing none, is there any objections? Hearing none, then the minutes will stand approved as corrected. Your financial report is in your packet. You've all had a chance to read through your financial report. Are there any questions? I need a motion to approve. Thank you, Brenda. Second.
Second.
Thank you, Ken. On the floor for discussion. Paul?
Okay.
Roxanne, do you have any updates that you might want to talk about, or Rick?
No, nothing from here. Not for January.
Yeah, I don't have anything. We're about 58.3% through the year, and we seem to be tracking pretty good to that for revenues expense in the general fund. The only thing that probably, you know, raises concern, and you already are aware of that, and that's just the amount of money we spend on the hovercraft operations and the helicopter for the Akaten transportation link, but I think we're working on getting those under control, so at least better. So other than that, I don't have anything else to point out.
Under reports and updates, you can give us a full report on the operation in Akaten. Okay. We'll call the roll. Or if any other questions regarding the financial statement? Hearing none, then you can call the roll, Tina, please.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Marvin?
Yes.
Alvin?
Yes.
Nikki?
Yes.
Financial report has been approved. Investment reports. Are there any questions regarding your investment report? Hearing none, then we'll go on to the presentation from Eastern Aleutian Tribe. Jennifer Harrison, the Executive Director. Thank you for coming.
Hello, everyone can hear me. I'm not sure how much of a presentation you guys are interested in for an update. I did bring hard copies, so it's my little monthly update. If anyone didn't get a copy of this, I can pass them around. I also brought business cards, if anyone would like a business card. So it's kind of our update of what's going on this month or in February, what happened. But I suspect that why I was invited to come was just so you could meet me and learn a little bit about me. I grew up in Alaska. I'm from Alaska. I went to high school and college here. I just spent the last 10 years living out in Chicken Village, so I'm executive director. I have a lot of experience in the tribal health world, not as much experience in the community health in the world. a little bit about me, if anyone. I enjoy flying in little planes. My dad has a supercut, so I'm not afraid to fly out to a small community. So I've flown where you had no visibility and had to go straight as high as you could to get above the clouds so you didn't run into the mountains. So I've had those kind of experiences, so I'm not afraid of any of that. But what Eve's doing is just chugging along. We have our 8 community health clinics that are all working just as well as they've always worked. We're looking for improvements, especially technological improvements. And of course, we've been working for raising funding for I do have a lot of experience in grant writing, community development. I worked for Chugach for 4 years, and so I traveled around the Chugach region and did a lot of what Anna's doing. So I totally feel for her and know what it's like to be working with multiple villages that all have, you know, dreams of infrastructure and that sort of thing. So I'm experienced in that. I guess, does anyone have any questions or about me or about what Eastern Aleutian Tribe is working on? Or?
I don't think we have any questions about you. I think we have questions about what each doing. Go ahead, Paul.
I'll start some questions, I guess. What's the total number of employees that EAT has now, roughly, staff?
I believe we're down to 70. But we have dropped about 20 employees in the last 3 to 5 years. But where we're concentrating our rehires is we've been focused on putting mid-levels at a lot of our clinics and making sure that there are 2 mid-levels at the 2 large clinics and at least 2 community health aides at the smaller clinics. So that's what we've been focusing our kind of rehires. A lot of the new employees have been mid-level. We're also working on getting more permanent full-time employees as mid-levels instead of so much of the locum itinerant providers. And we're updating and focusing on our retention of those mid-levels. We'd like to try to get them past kind of that 2-year mark. We seem to be having a cycle of years for the mid-levels, and then they leave. And we're focusing on that.
Second quick question I would have, Sprayer, was I know there's been a focus in the communities on substance abuse counseling, and how many staff members do you have that focus just on substance abuse within the region?
We have 1 full-time clinician who is in Sandpoint. We have a behavioral health aide in Sandpoint and a behavioral health aide in Kingsford. And we have a new clinician coming on board the first day of April 1st, and she'll be living in Kingsford. We have actually just started recruiting a 3rd behavioral health clinician, and that means the mid-level master's level clinician. We just started recruiting for one that we're calling a traveling clinician or a roaming clinician. We're thinking maybe in the whole bay and have a small team. But we do see a need. Well, we had a need for the 2nd clinician for a long time, but we see a need for a 3rd clinician. And we're trying to find behavioral health aides. There's training all the time for behavioral health aides. So if you have any community members that are interested going through that training, is very similar to community health aides, where you go up different levels. Brenda could tell you all about it. She's a behavioral health aid practitioner. She made it to the top level. But it's a continuum of education that if anyone's interested in going into that field, we do encourage them to want to. Because we'd like to have behavioral health aides in all of the communities, kind of the first contact.
Other questions?
Yeah, I got a question. How is EAT involved in this, your traveling situation? I know all the villages out there, not just King Cove. I know Sandpoint and everything, Akatan, and everybody in our whole district. Is when you've got an appointment, and if you can't make it due to weather, and you get there a day early because the weather's bad, and it just happened in Cove when I was there, and I was pretty upset about it. And, I mean, he had his numbers and everything to travel, but it was one day early, and no way it would let him on that airplane because it's ANMC's policy.
Yeah,
now, is there a way you people can work on it?
We have.
We tried to call Martha, and that was just, that was pretty, you know, but like I say, and then and we got the same problem in King Cove. It's happened to me, and it's nothing new. As soon as you miss your appointment, it's the same old thing. It's like, okay, we've got to schedule you. Well, you ain't going to get a heart doctor nothing for 3 more months, so you got to sit there for 3 months. And it might be too late. And I, you know, and like me, they schedule me every 6 months. And I talk to the doctor and I says, hey, you know, give me a couple days before. But then other than that, if I went through AMC and go on out of travel and all that, and even though I don't stay at their facilities, but then people that are not staying at, and a lot of the people that are not staying at the facilities, I think you ought to work a little bit better with them on the rural travel out in our area. Don't treat us like we're driving into town. And if you can't make it, they're just probably looking at us and saying, well, they're just out in the village and doing something else or something. You know, it's been, they have no idea in this here town what the weather is like there and what we got to work with just to get out here with the one airlines we got. You got so many people out here that's supposed to be coordinators and stuff, and it would just really help us, you know. And I'm just speaking for the people, and you know, and for myself too, and for the assembly, because you know, and I think that's a big concern because we're involved with these and stuff.
Yeah, it is a big concern.
If you can work a little harder on that, if these can really step up to the post and start straightening some of that out, that would be greatly appreciated, and let us know that stuff. So if problems do come up, at least have somebody we can call that can say, hold it, we got to get you out of there.
Well, I do know that for people that you can call, Marta's a good one, if you know Marta Holmes, the navigator.
Oh, yeah.
Another person that helps here in Anchorage is Sarah Dushkin. She's a case manager, and she can help with stuff like that. But it is a common problem. We have been pushing them to put all the villages as more than one travel day on their charts, and we've been meeting with them on trying to improve our communication system. Hopefully you'll see an improvement, but it is a common issue. We are not alone in that complaint, I can tell you that. But we'll keep bringing it up, because I do know that one thing about the Anchorage Service Unit and ANMC being our hospital is that with 56 tribes,
the
squeaky ones to get a little bit more attention, and we have been squeaky ever since I started. And I'll continue to be squeaky.
Me too.
Thank you.
Mayor, I have a couple comments. One, I guess, on what Big Chef just talked about. My wife just missed her appointment last week because of weather, so now they've rescheduled her for another month out before she gets to get back in. But one of the things I think there's things that could be done better is, you know, whether you have a dentist or a doctor coming, any of the folks out of the hospital here, is to have a longer timeline for noticing to the folks. We were supposed to have Dr. Hartman this past week, was supposed to go out, but due to weather and scheduling, he didn't make it. But I had run into two or three the elders in Sandpoint during that time that he was coming out, and asked them if they knew the doctor was coming, because at that point he was still coming out. He didn't know anything about it. I mean, these are people that have limited resources to just to travel out to the doctor. So I think maybe one of the things that needs to be taken a look at is the policy, and if the policy is there, if it's being used properly, because a lot of times they don't know the dentist there, they don't know the doctor.
We actually had a meeting about that on Tuesday because of that concern. Okay. And we do have a plan of getting ahead of them. We've started putting it on our calendar, started putting it on Facebook. I've been adding it to my monthly updates of when people are coming. But we also are going to be putting out flyers in the post office and the stores, because I know that's been this stuff for a long time. And of course, on that all platform, open.
Yeah, I think that'd be appreciated, because I know this last go around, even I had asked about an appointment. Don't bother.
Well, the village doctors were kind of directing those visits, and we've kind of came out around.
Thank you.
Saying,
we appreciate their support, but we also need X and Y.
I think another one, too, is just the radio station. Putting bulletins on the radio station when people are coming out.
That's a good idea.
Mr. Chairman, in light of the problems that Marvin and Alvin mentioned on transportation, I think it was about 2 years ago I read that it was putting a lot of work into trying to develop remote medicine, telemedicine, and I just bought an iPhone 5, you know, and there's just all kinds of things available. I mean, it won't replace the hands-on with the doctor, but just for diagnostics, it's huge things opening up. It seems like that's something that could really...
We do have the telemedicine and most of the providers have been trained. In fact, they usually go to our Whittier clinic to train before we even send them out to the more isolated clinics. We do have those carts. They just got installed, I believe, at like the end of last year. It's really recent.
Monitoring things that are available. I mean, talking about contact lenses that can read your blood pressure and your blood sugar, you know, and it seems an ideal kind of thing for a situation. Which?
The Tambers, the video conferences. Yeah, that's been working really well with our behavioral health clinic. You can go into the
what were you doing with the Obama health care applications out in the region?
That's actually Brendan's
expertise. I think the last count that I'd had was close to 500 of the exemptions we've had throughout the region. And the numerous people who have tried to sign up for the actual insurance, I think there's only been 5 people who've actually taken the insurance. We've had close to 100 people go in there and sign up through it. But none of them can afford the actual, how much it costs. Not many people.
What I'm saying is that the question comes up is those that are filing for the exemption, has that been advertised quite openly? I haven't.
On point. I was there when you were there. And
yeah.
I was there for.
I didn't hear anything about it.
I was on the radio every half hour.
Yeah. Somebody don't listen to the radio.
We had it posted everywhere, and I went from house to house. I saw your wife at the school.
You come to see me, Brenda.
You came the day I saw you, but I didn't get to see you. To give you,
I'm
asking, you are fine.
What is the? How is that coming along? Are we
tremendous?
Getting that pretty well filled up.
Would you like an application? I could give you an application. I've got an envelope, but you don't need it.
You might already be in the system.
You're fine. If you're over 65, but we put it out in her newsletter or. Laura's newsletter.
Okay.
Every newsletter that comes out, it talks about the exemption, about the insurance, how to access it, how to utilize it, how to, if you need help, my cell phone number is in there, plus my work phone number.
There's a lot of elderly folks, like you said, maybe they're exempted by age, but some folks don't get the opportunity to really take advantage of going up to the clinic.
No, that's why I rented a truck. And that's why I rented a truck in Sandpoint, and I went from house to house.
What are the folks in the clinic doing?
Huh?
What are the folks in the clinic doing?
That's my job.
Is that not your job?
No, that's my job.
You go to every community?
Yeah, I went to Sandpoint and King Cove, and then I've got people who are trained in our smaller community who are trained to do that. And they had to get certified, nationally certified as certified application counselors, the 7-part they have to take.
So you had facilitators in these communities going to house door to door and getting these folks signed up.
Yes, by the end of the year.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be done until December 31st. Everybody's got to try and be signed up. Hopefully. If you need insurance and you want to go through healthcare.gov, I can help you.
Those that are affiliated with ANMC,
yeah.
They get the exemption.
Yeah.
You don't get the exemption.
King Cove, every house was covered. And I ran around from house to house. But in Sandpoint, they rented me a vehicle, and I went from house to house. recommend. I ate a lot of food and drank a lot of tea. But it was immense fun. But also, I would like to say in support of Eastman, when you talk about the drug issue that we have out there, and we all know everybody in our communities, but I was surprised when I was in Sandpoint. I was going from one house to another house after the airplane had come in, and the vehicle was sitting there, and they had 11 trucks waiting to get to that vehicle. And those 11 trucks went by that window of that vehicle, and I knew every one of those kids in there. I mean, they're not kids. These are grown adult people. But all they did was stick their hand out the window and go and come and go and come and go. And, I mean, in King Cove, you can go approach people and say, hey, knock it off. Don't do that around here and not have to worry about anything. But in Sandpoint, even though I knew those people, I know a few of them carry guns. And I wouldn't say anything, so I went and talked to the police department after. And I think that's appropriately of what we're supposed to do as human beings. And whether you're related to people or you work with people or you're just a human being out there, I think that's our responsibility. This is our future. These are our kids. I have an ulterior motive in everything that I do. I want kids to grow up and be able to take care of my butt when I get old. And I don't know how to stop some of this stuff that's coming into these communities. We know all these people. We're related to a lot of these people. And what Eats is doing, they're helping. They sent people out for the Reclaim Alaska and Sandpoint, and that was we're very thankful for that. We're having some of the same situations. We've got a clinical psychologist coming into King Cove towards the middle of this month, and she's going to stay for a whole week. The city is helping pay part of her way to get there, and the school district is staying the other way. She's not taking any per diem or anything. She's living with the principal, and she's going to work with the school and with the children, the community. We're going to have a potluck. Eats is sending two of their people out. Their behavioral health clinician from Sandpoint is coming over, so they're helping and assisting, but they're wanting the community to take the role in being, I think, the leaders in this. And so the tribes are getting involved in King Cove, the city, as we said, the recreational department. So I think we all have to step up to the plate and not just sit and say, you know, someone's got to take care of this because it's us. We all have to take care of this. I have grandchildren, and I don't want my grandchildren stepping into a situation where somebody gives them something or they see something that they don't know is not candy. And if you look at a lot of these drugs, some of them look like candy. And they're not pop rocks. And what are we going to do when a child ingests some of this stuff? We're going to be in a world of hurt in our communities. And we've got a generation that we're losing. So I'm sorry on my soapbox. I'm really passionate about it.
But you're in the driver's seat to make something happen. I think the big issue that we have is that recovery. Mm-hmm. There's no counselors, nor is there a facility in the area that could administer rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have faced the music here. It's going to happen.
You
have to do something
in
regard
to
rehab and,
mm-hmm,
and recovery.
Are the facilities here in Anchorage
for rehab, drug
there are
and alcohol?
Thank you. And there is going to be public testimony time about the drug problem in Alaska on March 17th. I'm not sure what time the public testimony is, but Bryce Hedgman called and asked if I'd testify during that time. So I'll get people the date and time if people would like to get on his list or have his card.
Any other questions for Jennifer? Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just have one comment to make. Something my friend has been extending on that situation. In one situation that we know, and we do all got public safety and public works, and I mean, you know, in all the cities. The cities are working on it, but you got to remember one thing. You ain't the cop. You could go ahead and offer your help to the kids and stuff, which you're talking about. When you can't go into the house directly because you don't have an arrest warrant, you can't do nothing. And it takes so long to get one, by that time, cleaned up and gone. So, you know, that's good. They got to help facilitate cities, you know, and respect the job that they're doing because they are doing a job. And then between them and the state, they're well aware of what's going on. And so, you know, I appreciate what everybody else is doing, but just take your hats off to them people, too, because they're working on overtime. So that's all I got to say.
That's a question. Sure.
Sir, I did get an answer from A&M regarding travel when you're in Anchorage and you're trying to get home and you can't get home. I've had people that are concerned that stays, that they're delayed, won't be paid for, like the next night of watching at the hotel. And I did get comments that it's automatic, that it's by Medicaid, the Medicaid person, because there's proof. The travel delay in the flight schedule. And so if anyone is ever stuck in Anchorage and they're worried about, I've heard this before, you know, they live on the street almost because they didn't have the money for lodging and they couldn't get permission. You don't need permission. It's automatic permission if there's proof that the travel almost delayed.
Oh, yeah, well, I've already known that. Okay. Because they already told me. If you get stuck in Kobe, you know, it's for the travel overnight, but then there's it, and then you can't, you know, then you you got to travel, well, whenever, whatever, but they'll go ahead and take care of you, but then when you, they got some downright policies. I'll discuss it with you later and stuff, and
sure.
All the policies,
make sure you take
all
my
the
card.
Stuff, yeah. You know, and all the policies that I've been through with them, I mean, I'm not a happy camper, and I talk to you, Martha, and wasn't too happy with her either, so I'll just leave it at that personal, and we'll take care of it. Okay, yeah. Pretty much everybody knows about it, you know. They've been doing it for quite a while.
Thank you. We let the record show that Mr. Burstyn made it to our meeting.
All right. Resolution 1415, participate in the FY Community Revenue Sharing Program. Can I get a motion to bring it on the floor?
Moved.
Is there a second? Okay. Question regarding the resolution? Hearing none. Any objections to the adoption of Resolution 14-15? Hearing none, Resolution 1415 adopted. We don't have any old business. The new business, I guess we have the close-up student travel in your packet. You do have a copy of that. There's a request. And I'm not sure how this goes, but maybe Mr. Seiler, you'd be so kind to tell us about this.
What part would you like to know about, the program itself or what we're asking for?
I'm not sure what you're asking, actually. The only one here that...
We are asking, the close-up class is asking for an increase, and they actually have a letter here that they wrote that they would like to read to you, if that's possible.
Well, we do have your request here before us. And we all have a copy of it, and it says the current trip costs $4,500 per student. And any extra help that could be received would be greatly appreciated. I'm not sure what the school district has budgeted for the close-up trip, or is there any at all?
The borough does budget $5,000 in its budget for close-up travel.
It is already in this budget. Yeah, we do have a budget. Paul?
Well, I have three questions specifically. One, I'm not sure what a borough-wide policy is. Rather, this is from one school within the school district. However, I did look on the close-up website just for curiosity, and I think all expenses are paid except the travel, but I'm not sure. But I did Google travel just for the heck of it. On the dates, I believe close-up is. The fares I came up with about $1,800 round trip per person, but maybe I was looking at it the wrong way, but which is fine. I've been a strong supporter of close-up, and anyway, I did have a few questions.
So
I can break that down a little more. The actual program, which covers airfare from Anchorage to Washington round trip, is $2,800, but that does not include the airfare from Sandpoint to Anchorage or from King Cove to Anchorage. So it brings it up to roughly $4,500 for the airfare with when you add in the flights from Sandpoint to Anchorage and King Cove to Anchorage.
You might look at Travelocity because I travel a little bit, and it's pretty consistent in the $1,800 range, several options on Alaska Airlines.
Well, yeah, and the way it works out with close-up is they have a deal with the airlines, and that $2,800 covers the airfare. It also covers the transportation and the hotels in Washington and New York City, along with all of their food for the 7 days.
Doesn't close-up itself provide the room and board on the website?
Yes. That $2,800 covers that room and board, too.
We do have a budget item in our dollar amount in our budget for close-up. Is that what you're saying, Tina?
Yeah, there's been $5,000.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Sure.
So this particular one is coming out of Sandpoint. So do the other schools also do close-up?
I don't know who's all going.
From my understanding, the money that the borough has given in the past, it is split equally 50-50 between Sandpoint and King Cove.
Okay, could I finish my question?
Sure.
So if Sandpoint is asking for, well, they don't say what they're asking for, but wouldn't, since the borough is looking at this, and basically you got all the schools, if we did something, would we have to incorporate it so it covered each of those communities? Or are we going to do a piecemeal it at every meeting?
This is Annette Calver from King Cove. Can I give a quick little input?
Go ahead, Annette.
I'm the close-up advisor from King Cove, and if you guys do increase the amount, I truly hope that it is district-wide. I was just here just to check on that.
Well, basically, that's what would happen. It would be an increase in our budget, but we've already have that in place already. The budget item's in place. I don't know what how the assembly feels about at this point in time increasing the donation request for donations. When is that, Tina? When do we usually
donation
requests come in?
May 1st.
Yeah, coming up. It's too late. Paul?
Just a quick question. I talked to a close-up advisor in Sandpoint, and he mentioned there were six kids that were eligible, six juniors, under the high school program, which is now. But I'm not sure how many. Annette probably knows how many would be eligible in King Cove, and I'm not sure about the other communities, how many juniors there are that are eligible, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Here we have a list in your packet. There's a list of names of ones at Sandpoint.
Yes, we have four from King Cove and me.
Okay.
So five warm bodies headed that way.
How about the other communities?
How's the fundraising going in King Cove, Ms. Annette?
We're just about there. We have a few more fundraisers that we need to do, but I think we'll be okay. But if we got an increase from the borough, I think we'd be done.
We haven't gotten a request from them.
Is anybody's magic hand, Joe?
No. No, they got a
trip. We only have the one request, and whatever donations we make to the close-up program in Sandpoint. That's the only request we have.
Well, I think the question is referral-wise versus just Sandpoint.
But still, though, money that we got appropriated, it goes to the borough, not just to Sandpoint or King Cove. It goes to all villages. So
mm-hmm.
I just don't want to,
well,
it's going to go to all the borough schools, not just Sandpoint.
Yeah, we can certainly take it up at the time when we start adjusting or putting together a budget for next year. That could certainly be a discussion item if the Assembly decides to do that. Brenda?
I was just wondering, what is the fundraising like going in Sandpoint?
There has been some struggles here because there's been so much other programs that are fundraising at the same time that it's been a struggle for us to fundraise for everything with the senior class, the basketball team, the volleyball team, everybody else fundraising at the same time.
Justine?
I'd like a ballpark figure of what you're talking about as far as donation from the borough. Can you give us a number?
We were asked to request for a split with between the schools for if we could upgrade it to 20,000.
Good request. We'd have to incorporate that into our budget for next year. Paul?
I was just wondering how this works with the school board. If the close-up program is the school board oversees the close-up program
or
runs independently, and the school board doesn't even talk about it. I think it's a budget line item in the school district budget, but I'm not sure how that whole process works.
Could you talk to that, Mike? Speak to that.
They have a set amount.
What is that amount?
I don't know what the budgeted amount is that the district has budgeted. I think what they cover is the per diem for the students, the hotel in Anchorage, and also the chaperone.
Okay. And do you know I guess we can find that amount out and see what it looks like for the Assembly's sake. We can certainly get that to you folks. It wouldn't be out of order to ask you what are you looking at in regard to meeting your budget for travel now?
For this year, we're about 18,000 short for Sandpoint.
When is close up?
April 18th is when the students are scheduled to leave.
Okay. Well, appreciate it. Thank you. We'll certainly take that under consideration, but I would certainly like, yes, Alvin.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I guess my question is if we're going to, as the borough assembly, stop and figure out what we're going to do with it, I still think because we are the borough and our donations go into the school district, we need to know how many
people we're talking about. It's pretty hard to sit here and make a decision on X number of dollars when we don't know all of the information that should be available to us to make it, you know, to make a decision that's fair.
My decision is going to be on all schools.
Well, it'll have to be. If it comes down, it has to be shared up accordingly or equally because there may be...
And before...
Well, my guess is, but Roxanne might know better than I do, but if we budget $5,000, we're probably, each year, just give the school district $5,000 and then they split it up among the schools. And so if you decided to increase that amount... We probably do the same thing. We give it to the school district, and then the school district decides how they're splitting it up. But,
Well, I guess the reason I brought it up is, like, the number that we come up with, since we don't know how many players are involved, are we helping to the point that we should be helping? Or are we just spinning our wheels?
Also, I think, too, we have to take into consideration this is open government. We have to have accountability. These students are supposed to have a certain amount of accountability in raising the money and the funds and working towards that goal. So we have to be careful. We want them to be involved and be part of the situation, not just hand them a blank check and let them all go. They have to work for what they need, what they would like to do, where they're going to go in government. And so we also have to be careful we don't overhelp. Because we want them involved. We want them doing things in the community, and we want them taking part in raising that money and becoming part of the community with the elders and the other agencies in the community. So, yes, I agree with if it has been increased in a while, but I think that you're looking at your community members, your parents, your teachers, those students all getting together to help raise that money, and then there's an accountability there. Part of that government situation.
Roxanne, when this money comes in, do we just go, it goes directly to the school district?
At the end of the year, I give a check to the school district for that amount.
Okay. So it's just a supplement to their budget. It's not budgeted in their, it's not part of their budget, then I take it.
It's under their budget, but I mean within our budget, and it's expended towards them for close up.
Okay. And then it goes directly to the school district for the administration.
Yes.
So they administer the funds.
Uh huh.
Okay. Well, I sure thank you, Mike, for doing this. We certainly take it under advisement.
Well, thank you.
All right. Moving on. We have a draft AEBA, DF&G cooperative agreement. Ernie, would you mind speaking to that, please?
Sure. This is just an information-only item, so I won't drag it out unless you need me. I did put a map of the area. In the 2014 budget, you guys included $50,000 to work with ADF&G and kind of expanding the craft survey, and the information's in the packet. And there's a link on the memo that takes you to a memo that Callie Spellinger sent to Wayne Donaldson to talk about. We got a little freebie from them in the last year's survey. They showed the trawlable area, and they made three toes. From that information, we went back to them, talked, and maybe to the east, closer to Lazarus and Icatan is the area that we're interested in, and we've gotten that information there in the planning stages of the 2014 survey, and we're moving along. What's included is a cooperative agreement drafted by Mark Stickert, much like the cooperative agreement we had when we had the genetic study for Southeast District. That's in there. If there's any questions, answer.
Anybody questions for Ernie? Thank you, Ernie. That's not completed yet, is it? The survey hasn't been completed yet?
No, we haven't spent any money. The survey would be in the summer.
Oh, okay.
You know, we got a freebie last year. They kind of made it just a couple sample totes.
Okay.
This year, we want to have it. And after we sign it, if and when this draft looks good and you sign it, then 30 days later we have to give it 1,000 and then they go forward.
And that request should be coming in when? This survey request for the money.
Well, we've already kind of agreed. It's already in your budget, so there's no action to be taken except a signature by you.
After the survey gets going.
Oh, no.
Prior.
We signed the document prior.
Okay.
And
that was the document that we
had? Yes, the draft document. But
okay.
It looks good to me.
Yes, yeah.
Questions?
I'd like to thank you for all your continued hard work.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Okay, we have a request. Nelson Lagoon.
Yes. In order for us to move bus service communities to move forward to try to get the borough has to take an initiative declaring Nelson Lagoon a disaster. Once we get that declaration from the borough, we can move forward and try to secure some funding. If we have another storm like we had last fall, we're going to lose our water line. We're rather desperate. But again, we really can't move forward unless we get this resolution.
The community of Nelson Lagoon needs a resolution?
From the borough, yes.
Declaring that a disaster?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see any problem with that. Anyone got any questions regarding that? We did go to Juneau. Rick, would you?
Well, we took it to Juneau and spoke with our the legislators that we met with down there, gave them some pictures, kind of what's happening, explained what's happening. Unfortunately, the Juneau visit was, hi, how you doing, but not a lot of money that they're handing out down there. But they at least are now aware of the problem, and the information was given to them to do that. What I was going to do when we came back was go and meet with the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management and see what they might recommend that we do. And normally that's what you would do is do a resolution declaring the emergency. But I'm not quite sure exactly how they look at this in that declaration, and so I was going to go and talk to them about that and then do that, and then it gets bumped to the state, and then they do a report with a recommendation on it, and it becomes kind of a cost-benefit, you know, thing that they start looking at. And in order to get FEMA money, the state then also has to declare it as an emergency problem. But I haven't had a chance to follow up with the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. See where they would recommend we go.
So, Paul?
Yeah, last month when the tides were very high, I was following them because of the construction work in the harbor at Sandpoint, but I also was looking at the tide gauge in Fort Moeller and looking at the webcam in Nelson Lagoon out of curiosity, see if their eyes, they're very lucky in Nelson Lagoon, there was no wind. The tides were very high, but there was no wind, and that saved the south side as well as the Bering Sea side. If there was a storm force winds at the same time, it would have been big trouble in River City, I guess.
So,
man, not that Nelson Lagoon is a music man, but Nelson Lagoon River, that'd be big trouble.
Well, I really appreciate what you've done already, but we can't wait, and we can't have another survey. We can't not do anything. We have to be very assertive. And if it just means that the declaration won't go any place, that's fine. But I think we have to take the initiative.
Okay. Well, then we should, if your request for a resolution that we declare Nelson Lagoon a disaster and we need support for some sort of diversion or help with erosion on that water line, then we should address that. Is that what you're requesting? The community is requesting a resolution from here declaring that it would be a disaster, or is it the other way around? I'm not sure. I follow you.
Well, a disaster, there are two issues, actually. I'll point it out, you know, we didn't have any winds. If we had winds, we would have lost our
lines. Oh, I know that.
And we would have lost our lines, our water lines. So there are really two issues involved. It's inside beach and it's the outside beach.
I know. I'm really concerned about the outside beach because that water line runs right near that lake, and there's just a narrow strip of land between the lake and the outside beach.
If you remember, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago when we lost our line? We had to stand there with drinking water. Fortunately, there was a lot of snow that year, so we smelled the snow and we had snow water. But it was very, very dangerous.
Well, we even brought it up when we met with DOT because I think based on the map and the pictures, if I recall, it's getting close to their airport, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so we've even made DOT aware of it because that's a DOT airport, right? It's maintained. So, but I'll follow up with emergency management and see if I can't draft up a resolution for the next meeting.
Sure, we can certainly do that. But I would encourage community to send a resolution to us. I think that would be that would certainly help.
Typically, if it was an incorporated city, they would have to do a resolution first that would then go to the borough. So I'm not quite sure. That's kind of one of my questions to emergency management, where this is not an incorporated city, but it probably wouldn't hurt if the village or the you know, whatever organization you have there did a resolution and sent it to the borough, because then it kind of follows that hierarchy that goes from there to the borough.
That's where I was coming from. I think that's the way we should address this, because we need your input to let us know. That would sure help, and then we can get that moving for the next meeting.
Great, thank you.
All
right. Calvin?
I know what the problem is over there also, and I think we have to leave the paper trail, so the sooner we can do the resolution, you know, then it's in the records that we've done something, and they have to deal with it. So I think the paper trail needs to be there.
We do have some overlays, maps of the lagoon, showing over a period of time how much it has eroded. So that we do have that, but I think we ought to get a resolution from the village and then move it on down there. You're right, Alvin. It starts that paper trail today. The sooner we can get that started, the better off we're going to be.
Okay.
Certainly.
I think, could we also make sure and include the history?
Who?
The history?
Yeah.
What has occurred, what it's led up to.
Well, that's what I say. We do have a chart showing the erosion problem over a period of 5 years or 10 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have a request from Falls Pass regarding the dock. Tom, could you speak to that, please?
Yeah, I can, Mr. Mayor. We had an inspection done back in 2010 by HDR, and there was some things that they mentioned that needed repair. There's gouges in the dock on the timbers up to an inch and a half thick, and we've been taking crab pots over that dock for 20 years plus, and it looks like we need to replace some timber.
Okay, and in your request, you had you're asking the labor cost was an estimated of 50,000.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's gonna take probably three or four persons during the summer to do it. We're gonna try to do it in sections so it doesn't interfere with the ferry, like 20-foot sections or something like that. So, you know, I'm not sure how long it's gonna take and, you know, what the labor is going to be, but that's kind of what we're thinking.
Sure, wish we could have had this 3 to 4 weeks ago when we were in Juneau. I sure would have helped. Gosh, we're a little late now because they were putting together their projects for the different docks, and I think Akatan is one of them that's going to get some work done on it, perhaps Cold Bay. Paul?
Well, we have a budget's coming July 1st, and we could probably prepare something to find the money, or if it's not coming from the state, I'm pretty sure you're pretty resourceful. You could maybe try to figure out a way to incorporate, because they're contributing quite a bit of money, and it is an important dock. Ferry, whatever. If the ferry's running this year, supposedly it is. But and they do use that dock a lot for gear.
It is. It's basically a ferry dock.
I think most of the assembly probably would like to see a way to maybe find a way to come up with the money, throw it in next year's budget. And if they know the money's going to be there, I'm sure that's we'll have to adopt it in June. So it's not very, very far away to give them a firm commitment.
I think that's the best way to do it. We'll certainly be addressing it, Tom.
Okay, so we're going to try to do this summer. I mean, you know, during the summer months. So you think, I know you say you're going to try to do it, but we want to, if possible, a firm commitment because, like I said, we have some money in our R&R fund. We're probably going to put two-thirds of the cost of the job toward that, so, you know.
And we have your request here for an estimated of $50,000.
Yeah, and then the lumber itself is going to come up to, you know, right around $100,000. That's FOB Seattle.
Mm-hmm. So what is your request then?
Our request is, I think it's... $50,000.
Okay.
We were asking the borough support for a labor cost of approximately $50,000.
Okay. Thank you. Alvin?
Mr. Mayor, I actually have a couple of questions. One is, I take it this dock is part of the marine highway system. So, is this also, do they go in there and do the surveys on it?
Not sure.
They do the inspection. Yes, Mr. Mayor, they did the last inspection in 2010, and that's, you know, probably just about 4 years ago, and since then there's been quite a bit more wear and tear on the dock. And, yes, ADOT does the inspection.
Okay.
You got something, Annie?
Well, it's a Cold Bay dock, sorry.
I know a lot about that.
The Cold Bay and Akutan have both put in for funding help from and got some federal dollars that come in and help, but that's been a process that's been working for 2-3 years. I don't know how long Akutan's been working on theirs, but, you know, to get those federal funds is pretty hard to do. It's hard to get money out of DOT or docks that they don't own, but we've been working hard on them. And like the mayor was saying, if we'd have had this in our CIP list and could be working with DOT, I mean, we can approach DOT. $50,000 is not, well, you're talking $150,000 total project if we could even get DOT to kick in it. We might be able to, but it's a little bit late, you know, in their budget right now and the fact that we've already been down there, so it's going to be a tough haul. And so either you have to amend your, you know, commit to it and amend your FY14 budget, or you do like Paul suggested, where you discuss it for the FY15 budget, but then they won't know for sure until we pass June. So,
Alvin?
Mr. Mayor, I guess what I was getting at is if then it is underneath the state. I don't know what the survey looks like, but, you know, if there was mention in the survey of wear and tear, timbers, what have you, would it be possible to do the work and put in a request for a reimbursement
since it's part of the highway system.
I don't think, I'm not sure whether they work the same way as we've done with school districts when we've done maintenance on it. Annie,
well, AMA actually has a pretty big budget, and when you're working on the whole day doc, that's for that, and they said that they would not help us with this. So I don't think AMA is really an option. Headquarters, maybe. But typically when the state or, like, federal dollars, like the whole day doc, when, for instance, the state runs the project, go through a design, yes, it's environmental, and it's a huge project. And so I don't know.
It was just a question.
Mm-hmm. There might be. We can do some research on that in regard to what their budget looks like, if they've got, the ferry system has any discretionary funds somewhere for repairs, maybe, remotely, possible. But we certainly should try it.
All I can do is say no.
Tom?
Are you on?
Go ahead, Tom.
Mr. Mayor, is there, you know, we're, like I said, we have money available to do this, most of this in-house. We're just asking for a little bit from the borough. I mean, we're not asking for 150, we're asking for 50. So, you know, 100,000 is going to come out of our R&R account.
Yeah, understand. So we'll try to work something in, then, as Mr. Grunholt suggests, that we do it when we start reviewing our budget. At this point in time, we're pretty strapped with our budget the way it's been running now. Paul?
Yeah, I'm speaking for myself. I don't see any problem, Tom, mm-hmm. but I'm only speaking for myself. But I certainly don't see any problem when we get to that point next month or month after next. But any you need the material anyway, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some way of doing it.
We're probably going to go ahead and order the material. We got one more quote coming in. We haven't received it as of yet, but we're looking for one more quote, and there's about a 10,000 discrepancy between the two we have. So actually, we're going to go with the cheapest one we can find.
That's good. Sounds wonderful. Okay. Anyone else have any more questions? Thanks, Tom. Mr. Grunholt, you had the next request for the disposal of the hovercraft, and could you speak to that?
Yeah, just a quick question from the staff, how we're doing on preparing to dispose of it.
Well, we've been working both with our D.C. attorney lobbyists in making sure that we have the ability to be able to sell it. I've been told that we do. Our attorney here has also looked at it and, you know, said as long as we comply with our borough regulations code, which means advertising in that, we should be able to do it. We've been working with Quijac, who, of course, is the most, they're the one who built the craft. They're the ones who have been working on the craft, know the inventory, know the condition of it. We've been working really close with them and possibly coming up with an agreement to help us to sell this. Because they're the ones that can demo it, they're the ones who can talk to, you know, the most intelligent people about what the hovercraft can do and not do. And so we need to move forward with getting it advertised. It's going to take a period of time. There is some interest out there. We've had inquiries on it. I'm sure some of the inquiries are, gosh, we hope we can get it for cheap like Matt Sue's doing. But on the other hand, we've had some that I think know that it could be a very valuable vessel for their operation. It's just a matter of working the numbers and making it work for them. We would like to get authorization to be able to advertise and put it up for sale. We're working with Quijac and possibly coming up with an agreement that they would help us, you know, obviously for a commission, and helping us sell this, but they would cover a lot of their expenses for brick coming up and doing demos and those kinds of things, but we would cover the advertising and, you know, bid costs and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. So I just don't have that agreement in place at this point, but if the assembly wanted to
authorize us to go ahead and get it advertised. I guess it's up to you what you want to do, Paul. There, but assembly.
Well, I think we should get a resolution on a table to dispose of the hovercraft.
Resolution or motion?
Or motion, well, it'll be resolution.
I'll just make a motion for discussion.
Certainly.
I've moved that the borough authorizes the administration to do appropriate advertising for eventual disposal of the hovercraft.
Is there a second?
Second that.
Any discussion regarding that motion? Questions?
Just in a timely manner.
Okay.
Too many cobwebs.
Yes. Okay. And
Mr. Mayor?
Certainly.
By advertising, it doesn't commit us to actually sell it. We're still going to come back to the
it's on the
assembly. And,
oh, yeah.
And so it's advertising.
Yeah. We're hoping that we'd have to call a special meeting.
Right.
Which is good.
Saturday.
But, yeah, okay. Then we'll call the roll. Hold on a minute. Anyone else have any questions? Hearing none, call the roll.
Armin.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Yes. Nikki?
Yes.
Okay. We got marching orders. Reports and updates are in your packet. Sam is here to report any questions you might have. Ernie is here. Anyone have any questions regarding any reports and updates? We can certainly give you one. Paul?
Just a real quick question from Annie about the Cobay Docks. She had a nice letter explaining how that procedure was going to work on the Cobay Dock, but I wanted to know if the wave barrier discussion, is that part of this, or is that coming later? Where are we at with incorporating a wave barrier into the Cobay Dock?
My Assemblymember Holton, Assembly, right now we have $1.7 million for the Cobay Dock repairs, and that's $500,000 we gave the Federal Highways money we talked about earlier, and then also the match, the borough and the Cobay match for that. We had $500,000. When we were in Juneau, we visited with Kirk Miller, who's the DOT engineer on this project, and he's a puppy master and somehow got $1.2 million from the DOT headquarters. So now we have a $1.7 million project. This is just for repairs of what is functional and operational for the next 15 years. Eventually, we will have to think of a replacement for that dock, but right now with these repairs, it's just
the good news is that Congress is passing the water bill, I'm not sure exactly where it's at now. I think the House passed it and it went to the Senate, and they were kind of working out the differences. The bad news is as Annie mentioned, it's just one big bill that everybody then has to compete for nationwide. Our delegation tried to get some language to get it amended to get some amount, a certain sum of money set aside for Alaska, Hawaii, and I believe the island territories like Guam and stuff like that. So it'd be the smaller, kind of the smaller side could use it to compete. And that has not happened yet, but that's what they're still kind of trying to work on. So at least they're moving forward with being able to start new projects, but it's still a long ways out there. But I think by having the state kind of come up with some concept ideas, then we've got something we can go and say, hey, you know, here's something we've got that we think will work. We just need help, you know, moving it forward, and then you can kind of get on their list and maybe get some interest, and maybe we can. So we're working on it, but the money that she's got is like she said, is just for repairs.
When was the last time they passed the word of bill?
It's been 4 or 5 years, I think.
Are they going to do it this time?
My understanding is yes. I don't think it's passed completely yet, but I think it sounds like it's going to.
Sure. Annie, go ahead.
On other things, I guess the helicopter, it's fun to hear about the helicopter, and Rick can chime in whenever. It arrived in Accutan on February 12th, began service on the 16th, and it's been really successful so far. I've heard a lot of good things. Logistically, on our end, we still got quite a few things to work out with the school and with just the reservations and everything. I know myself and Roxanne working like crazy on that. But we are working on a website, which should be up and running within a week or 2 weeks, which will streamline things. But, you know, since, and in my report I gave numbers from the 17th to 22nd, if you go from the 17th to the end of February, we've had 107 passengers, 11,538 pounds of mail, and about 1,500 pounds of freight going through on that helicopter, which is really significant. I have a feeling China's using it a lot more, it seems like it. I get a lot of reservations from them. So, you know, we've got an MOA with the city of Akutan for help on Akutan Island with the logistics of getting the baggage and everything from the grant thing over to the other one. That seems to be working out. You know, we've got, I actually today got some permit requirements for fuel, which I forwarded to Joe, Mayor Joe. And there's just a lot of other things to get this thing up and running. But the pilot out there, I have nothing but good things to say about Maritime. They're fantastic. This pilot, I think, is 28 years old, and he's just great. So I think it's worked out well. The hovercraft is closed up and done. We've got the keys. But once again, Marty and them did a fantastic job. I mean, that was a tough operation. And it's funny, once he's gone, Marty's gone, I didn't realize how much he actually did. So he did a lot. Nothing but good things to say about Hoverlink as well. So, but it's working, and I hope everybody's happy out in Akutan with this. It's a good operation.
A couple hours before that to come up here, our truck shop mechanic told me he was amazed. He ordered some parts that he needed Sunday night, and of course Seattle office is closed until Monday morning, and he had them in his hand Thursday morning. Just couldn't view. The mail, Joe, I'm sure you've seen how much improved the mail service has been. It's just really wonderful.
Yeah, and the pilot had moved 11,000 pounds of mail for 4 days of operation, still all sitting on a coon, so he's been working hard.
One of the things that we have to look at is the hours that's been forecasted in the proposal that they submitted to us, and now it's starting to look like it's going to be way beyond that, so we're going to have to readjust that. It may slow down as well. But, of course, again, remember that this is only a Band-Aid effect because it is another subsidy that the borough is struggling with at this point in time financially. And the ultimate mode of transportation would be something more permanent. And we're going to have to seriously take a look at that here shortly.
Well, Mr. Mayor, is there any progress on that, or is that just building a dock over there? Is there, which is starting?
First is identification of an area, then it's going through the permitting process.
Again, it's another one of the things we were approached with the Corps of Engineers, but another one of the big ones. But we did have some pretty good luck with that, too, while we were down in Juneau with DOT, and DOT headquarters has actually offered to give us some of their expertise to help here in Anchorage. So we've got to set up that meeting to talk to some of their people because we need to, that's what we need to figure out is where's a good location, you know, get some estimates, what it would take, to be able to do it, and they've offered to help us to do that. We were looking at maybe having to hire an engineering firm, and DOT has kind of stepped up to the plate and said they would help us out with some of that. So we're going to meet with them here later and start working on that so we can and move that forward. Unfortunately, it could be a big project, so we're looking for some help from the feds, but I don't know.
It's also some local knowledge.
The status of the getting that tarmac built between the terminal in Cold Bay and the runway?
Go ahead, Rick. Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely working on it, and if I recall, it's 2016. Is what they have. Well, it's 2016 with the possibility if things were to come together and they were able to do it, possibly do it in 2015.
So on Mark Hickey's report, there's the crosswind runway reconfiguration. Is it tied in with that?
They're trying to tie in the project so that they can get more bang for the dollar going out there with the contractor to do that work at the same time they do the tarmac.
Because they just reconfigured it like heck not too long ago.
They just extended it.
What are they doing next?
They're shortening it,
right? Yeah.
It's shorter. They're very short.
Yeah. No, they lengthened it out to the boundaries of the refuge, and now they want to shorten it because that RBZ line interferes with the construction of a new fire hall.
And hangar for the Coast Guard.
The hangar, the Coast Guard hangar, I think that was coming after the fact because of the fact that now they've got the okay to go ahead and shorten that crosswind runway. That brings that RVZ line out of the picture so they can expand the ARF building at Cold Bay to accommodate a 3,000-gallon fire truck. And included in that, the Coast Guard is now going to renovate the Evergreen Hangar and add on to the Evergreen Hangar. They also assured us that they secured the housing there for their crew, so that increases the activity in Cold Bay.
And I'll add to that apron question. Right now, when we met with the Coast Guard, that's all it's true. And that apron should accommodate a C-130 on it. So when the clinic, which is going to be based on that too, it should be able to help service that. There could be some issues with leasing and other airplanes on the thing, but we'll have to coordinate that when we get there. But we are working with the state on getting the memorandum of agreement with the state on the contribution the borough is giving to them. So there's the $2 million we have in the grant funds and the $225,000 that we donated towards the project. So we're getting the MOA with them, and then there's some legislative authority stuff that Mark is going to have to work on. And then hopefully we can get this in the score in 2016, but potentially 2015 if all goes as planned. But there's a lot of projects going to go out
in the next two, 3 years. So there's talk of Coast Guard would like to work with us to reduce mobilization costs, stuff like that. So anyway, that's... Somebody might know, but I flew out in February, and there was somebody named Todd who was coming out to certify the AWOS system on Akron, and that got certified. And radar is going to be installed afterwards?
Not sure. Not sure, but...
What I was thinking, once we get Alaska coming in with the jets to Cold Bay, there's a real potential for some little apex flights for tourist bird watchers, you know, down at Dutch Harbor for the World War II stuff. There's people do nature tours, and that Surf Bay Inn over there could hold a sob or two's worth of people. That's a great facility, you know, to just get something going through there.
Rest in a project.
Anyway,
we're moving along.
Yeah, great to see you.
Questions? Any other?
Sam, what's going on in the fishing? Ernie, what's going on in the fishing?
Well, Ernie and I were in Seattle for the SOU, Mr. Mayor, for the, and Paul Grunkle for the last council meeting. The next council meeting is April 7th, and then the Fish Board meeting this month. And it's for king and Santa Crab and supplemental issues. And the only one that we spotted, correct me if I'm wrong, Ernie, was the proposal from the King Cove Advisory Committee to change the opening for crab from January 15th to January 3rd. And if you're familiar with the cod and the crab conflict, you'll see why they want to do that. But I don't know that there may be somebody... Some people may not like that, so I haven't really heard from the fishermen on that issue very much. Right now, if you want to fish crab, you can't fish cod that first 2 weeks, so maybe some people will just choose not to fish cod. So there may be some different opinions about how that ought to be, but that's one solution is to move it to January 3rd. The council meeting in April, the council has identified their priorities for the upcoming year, I think, as the trawl bycatch management, which is also known as gulf rationalization or issuing quotas for cod and pollock trawl fishermen. The Observer program has had some problems getting it's a new program, so they've had difficulties in a few areas. One of them has to do with if you're either in the vessel selection pool or the trip selection pool, and if you're in the trip selection pool and you decide to deliver to tenders, then you can just stay out and you never get selected again. So NIMS statisticians don't like that very much, so there's a kind of a rush on getting that fixed. That will be up in the June meeting. The other Observer issue is on the trawlers. A lot of us feel that our way that they could deal with observers on trawlers just by using electronic equipment. And that's taking kind of a back seat to the long line group as far as who's first in line to get electronic monitoring. But I think we're making some progress on that. The states all testified at the meeting, and the state echoed his remarks, and we're very supportive. So we feel that that's got a pretty good chance of getting the support. Another issue that doesn't directly affect everybody, but the halibut stock, everybody knows they're down, and so the big one of the other priorities the council has announced is that to reduce the bycatch or to address the halibut bycatch in the Bering Sea. So they had a discussion paper. They're going to have another discussion paper at the next meeting, and they're going to try to advance that issue. And so let's I can get into as much detail as you want on that. But a couple other minor issues. OSHA still has their time at the table on the crab shares that were in question, and so that's they've considered putting it on the June agenda, but it's going to be on the October agenda for final action. I can get the details on that if you want to, but it's been kind of a long-standing disagreement about who should own those processor shares. I'm sure I'm missing something, Ernie.
Well, I was just going to mention April is the next bite of the apple of the Gulf of Alaska. And I made copies of the newsletter if you want to the link to my report. And last week had a good meeting, went out with Trent Hartzell, the new ground fish manager, preseason meeting. It was a real good Amazon call for that.
One other, ADAC, and the reason that ADAC may
may be of interest is because some fishermen from Sandpoint fish out in ADAC. And as you know, the plant's operating there now. They're doing codfish. It is doing crab this year, but they hope to next year. There's some Pitka and ACDC crab that was being processed out there. But they got a boost. The processing company that's out there now got a boost from the council this time because the council said, yes, you do deserve some inshore protection. We're gonna move that along. And people were reminded that years ago when the old inshore-offshore fight took place, that the purpose was to ensure that the shore-based plants had enough product for the communities to survive, and the same arguments are being presented for ADAC, and it looks like the Alaska delegation was 100% supportive of offering ADAC protection.
So we're a 6-5 vote, is that what you're saying?
Well, I think we had one of the weeds, but he didn't want to expose himself. So that's what
the main thing, it passed.
Yeah.
Questions? Thank you very much, Ernie. Thank you, Ernie. Public comments. No, assembly comments. Got Joe.
Looks like Nelson Lagoon and Pulse Pass are in time crunching here, but their assembly might not, the borough might not help them up, but I encourage staff to hopefully look for what Nelson Lagoon needs and Pulse Pass needs from the staff, which will help them out with that for the next fiscal year. That,
something I came across Saturday morning, hour or so before Plant Safety Committee meeting, and we found of interest, maybe the borough staff might be interested, needs some of the other communities. March 27th is the 50th anniversary of the Great Alaskan Earthquake, and the North Dakota shakeout.org in commemoration of that, they're just going to have a statewide drill at 1:36 p.m., and it took about 5 minutes to register our plant on it. They send, there's all kinds of flyers and publicity materials. And after it's over, you know, you tell them how many people participated, and you get a little certificate of participation that you can hang on the wall. And during the year, people might remember, oh, yeah, those things can happen here. And it's a real good, cheap way to get some emergency training happening. You can use it to help. So shakeoutdoor.org.
Participated in the original one.
Yeah.
We get a plaque for it.
No.
But they want you to send pictures.
I barely get the packet up.
Paul?
Reviewing the minutes, in the minutes, Gary Henning was supposed to be giving us a little update. I know he's probably busy, but if you would let him know, we didn't forget his commitment to give us information about the coal bank in Cove Link and some updates, and it would be appreciated next time we get together. Thank you.
Oh, certainly. An update, shall we? Yeah, there's a scheduled trip to Washington, D.C. the week of the 24th. And we're going to be going back there to push, shove, beg, borrow, steal, whatever we can. Shouldn't say that. But no, we're going to go back there and meet with the delegation one more time. And hopefully we can have an audience with the Secretary of the Interior and perhaps with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Elvin?
Mr. Mayor, maybe after that meeting that you guys have in D.C., then would be a good time to put on the agenda and have some discussion about King Cove, Cold Bay Road.
I know Gary's been working on it. Mm-hmm. I was going to respond to that. And then, yeah, we will know a little bit more after that meeting. But
yes,
he's also been putting together his numbers and stuff, and he was telling me he should have something ready by the April meeting. So.
Any other assembly comments? Public comments? Anyone out there on telephone land? Hearing none. Gosh, it's quiet. Is anyone out there?
Hold base, y'all here.
Okay. All right. Our next meeting.
Mr. Mayor, not specific about next meeting. However, I do note that the ferry schedule is out. I think the first one is approximately the 1st of May, roughly that weekend is when it's, and I think they've got two more in May after that.
Oh, two
every
more.
Every two weeks.
Oh, yeah, right.
One the end of May, too. But one of those times would be a good King Cole, one would be a good Hakatan time, perhaps. Mm-hmm. We can figure it out if the ferry actually does make it.
Is it going to be the Chestamanos?
Yeah, can't remember that one?
New and improved. The new and improved one. Oh, that's good. That's good. But I agree with you, Paul. That's a good suggestion. It may give the assembly a chance to really see some action out there. See what you're paying for. Any others? So we'll try to schedule that around the ferry schedule then. We'll have no dates on it, but we can certainly send out a flyer. Hopefully we'll have a special or something prior to that with some action on the hovercraft. There's nothing more?
April.
Is there a second?
April.
I need a second to the motion on the floor for
April.
Moved and second. Any objections? We'll be adjourned.
Oh, what's the meeting?
Hmm?
They'll tell us anyway.